Please be seated. Before I begin, just an editorial comment as a way of explanation. Probably about last Sunday, I started developing a sty, which got a lot worse during the week. Long story short, I can't wear contacts. I can't see well with my glasses. And I can't see well without my glasses. So if I seem disoriented or more than usual, because I am. I am all the time receiving emails with links to churchy-type articles. And recently, many of those have been focused on the future of the church, not just the Episcopal Church, but the church in general. And some of them are frankly depressing, with titles like 10 Predictions About the Future Church and Shifting Attendance Patterns, or Why Aren't Millennials Attending Your Church? Or The Greatest False Idol of the Modern Church? Or 10 Reasons Even Committed Church Attenders Are Attending Church Less Often? Those were just last week. And honestly, I will read many of these articles, of course, depending on who sent them to me, and many of them are interesting and make some very valid points. They almost always offer some good advice as well, mostly some programmatic advice as to how to boost attendance or at least to fight off dwindling attendance. And I'm not sure really why these articles seem to be so plentiful these days, because the truth is regular church attendance has been declining for a generation. But there's something this week that stood out to me in every single one of these articles. And it's that none of the authors, not one, ever seems to get around to defining what church is, or at least what church is supposed to be. And if you can't define it, maybe that's the problem with attendance. For the most part, I think many of us think of church as a destination. It's a place we go. But it's also a place where we expect to receive something, spiritual kind of things, whatever that means. And what folks expect to receive from church is frankly another sermon. But taking a cue from today's gospel reading, I wonder if we've got it all backwards. You know this story. It's Holy Week, just before the Passover. Jesus has made it to Jerusalem. And it's causing quite the ruckus the day before the Last Supper. He goes to the temple, overturns the table, calls the place a den of thieves, and naturally this is going to be a contributing factor to his arrest the very next day. That's the story, right? You know it. Actually, that's not the story at all. Not in John's gospel. It's how things took place in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospel. Gospels, but John's version, as Father Tom likes to say, John's agenda is different. Rather than placing this story at the end of Jesus' ministry like everyone else, John places the story at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. There's no accusation of a den of thieves. Instead, he calls the temple a marketplace, a place of business, which is what it was. It had to be, so that devout Jews could purchase animals for sacrifices. And while the cleansing of the temple story in the Synoptic Gospels is all about corruption in God's house, I can't help but wonder if John uses this story in the beginning for a different reason. I can't help but wonder if John uses this story instead to announce something new, a new beginning, a new era, one in which the grace of God is no longer merely a product of what is done in the temple, but instead one in which Jesus is announcing a new way of relating to God, beyond sacrifice, beyond the Holy of Holies, beyond worship. That God is no longer available primarily, let alone exclusively, through the temple. And since the Gospel of John was written after the destruction of the temple, that all makes perfect sense to me. And I can't help but wonder. I can't help but wonder if we could use a similar type cleansing today. I can't help but wonder if all the hubbub about attendance at church would be pointless if we could just stop giving the impression, intentionally or not, that church is one great big God box where people should come to experience God. And instead, be those who help people experience God out there in the real world. Now, don't get me wrong. I think what we do here in worship is important. But rather than imagine that this is a place we go for some experience of God, I wonder if we shouldn't imagine it as a place instead that we're sent from in order to meet and even partner with God in everyday life. And that just might upset the apple cart as violently as Jesus did that day in the temple. We come to church because in the proclamation of the gospel and in the sharing of the sacraments, we perceive God's grace so very clearly. And I think many of us believe we are leading our Christian lives most fully and most visibly when we're at church, or at least doing churchy-related things. But then we're called to go, to get out of here, to go, to look for, to meet, and experience God out there. And that's harder. Just this week, I received an email from a member of this parish who had set up a lunch with a friend who had experienced great tragedy. This parishioner told me that he set up the lunch because he thought it was important, but spent most of that hour just feeling useless because his friend was angry at God and he didn't know what to say. But this parishioner was far from useless. This parishioner reflected an understanding of what I think John was trying to get across in this gospel lesson. Living his faith, not just on a Sunday, but smack dab in the middle of a week. Imagine being a non-judgmental presence and a listening ear for someone who is in pain. Being a friend without all the answers, especially when there aren't answers, but willing to be along for the journey, which is what God promises all of us in our own times of need. That parishioner was the face of Christ for another person, whether either of them realized it or not. And he wasn't in the God box. He was out in the world. And with our eyes opened, all of us can come to know such opportunity, whether it be in our vocations, our volunteering, our family lives, our social lives, or just anywhere we might find ourselves. Because just like us, there is a world out there looking for meaning and purpose and understanding. And our faith has some pretty good things to say about all of that. But I think we've been conditioned to think that living our faith in our daily lives means we have to go about witnessing and sharing faith stories or talking about the Bible and feeling guilty when we don't do it enough. It's hard for us to imagine that what we spend our time doing in the world counts as a call. But it is. And maybe fewer and fewer people are coming to church because their faith seems to impact most of their lives so superficially that it's hard to justify giving an hour on a weekend to something that seems to hardly impact the rest of the week. But what if we kicked over a few tables? What if we kicked over a few tables and let God out of the box? What if we somehow regained the sense and confidence that God is always ahead of us at work to bless and save and love this world? And that God is beckoning us to join him. Then maybe church becomes something different. Maybe it becomes a training ground for our life out there in the real world. Not a destination, but maybe just a way station to find rest and nourishment before returning to the real work. A place where we discern just where and to what God is calling each one of us. Then maybe we can begin to understand John's insight in the gospel lesson as we come to know that the Word that was with God and is God has become flesh, and God can no longer be kept in a box. That our churches can't contain God any more than the temple could. That what we do here is really about trying to see and experience God in all of our life, and most importantly, enable the world to see God in us. Outside of the God box, and even smack dab in the middle of the week. God love you. Amen.